the rest of the story. Little Dolly was not the Joneses' biological child. Yet from the day they brought her home, Curtis and Susan knew they could never love any baby more than they loved her. Adopting, of course, can be risky. By the time she was two or three, it had become clear that Dolly would never be able to think or to speak, as would other youngsters her age, and what little she could learn was practically impossible to unlearn. For example, she could never get used to calling the Joneses Dad and Mom. Curtis and Susan would forever be Kurt and Susie to Dolly. But that was okay. What concerned the Joneses was that although Dolly was likely to outlive them, she would never become independent of them. In fact, Dolly quickly grew fretful unless at least one of them was at her side at all times. This concern, quietly haunting the couple for many years, surged forth when Susan's heart condition developed. Still, the Jones family was such a happy one otherwise that it was decided that they would take each day as it came and relish their togetherness as life permitted. But this is the rest of the story. Most folks around Phoenix City, Alabama, knew Curtis Jones as the blind piano player. Sightless since infancy, he nonetheless played and tuned and even repaired pianos with proficiency that few sighted musicians ever attain. And so it was that Dolly grew up a music lover. Although not just any music would do, it had to be Curtis's music. By the age of five, she could identify almost anything in his repertoire and would often sit for hours listening in rapture to those familiar melodies. Even the ordinarily monotonous process of tuning the family piano was music to Dolly's ears. Well, December 3, this last year, 1996, Curtis Jones died. And just as he and Susan had feared, Dolly could not be made to understand. Past her teens now, she still had the mind of a child. And with childlike bewilderment, she hurried about the house, poking her head into every room, anxiously calling Curtis's name. So Susan summoned all of her courage and all of her faith and took Dolly into the dining room and sat with her on the floor. And then, from alongside, she spoke the most painful words of her life. She said, "Dolly, we've got to talk." Susan said, "I want you to understand that Kurt is gone. He is gone. He is not coming back. So please, please stop calling his name, because it hurts me more than I can bear. From now on, it's going to be just the two of us. We'll have to take care of each other, okay?" And when Susan had finished, Dolly rose slowly and walked a few steps into the next room. Susan followed and saw Dolly lift back her head and cry out louder than ever, "Kurt!" And with that plaintive last utterance, Dolly fell over dead. For you see, in more ways than one, the day Curtis Jones went away was the day the music died, at least in the mind and heart of little Dolly, the Jones's 20-year-old miniature red and green parrot. You've wondered for years, haven't you, whether they think, whether they feel, whether they understand what they say. Well, now you know. Because now you know the rest of the story.